live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville Sports Original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
On WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
And happy Thursday, everyone. Johnny Ballpark Frank, to do Zach Williams, making sure everything runs great. Back to studio, 615-844-5600. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation this afternoon, 615-844-5600. First two segments open to you if you'd like to be a part of the chat. Coming up around 4:35, Mitch Light, managing editor at The Athletic, not only here in Nashville, but Memphis as well. Coming up just after 5, Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. And then around 5:35, Doug Segrist, not only a co-host of the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340, a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser, and more. Zach, hope you're having a great week, and as always, good afternoon to you as well.
I am having a good one, Johnny. How was vacay?
It was good. It was good.
Where'd you go to?
Just went over to my wife's family's house over in the East Tennessee area, neighbors of Commissioner Roy Kramer, former AD of Vanderbilt. By the way, just going to say, I don't think they got the memo. Nobody over there is practicing the whole thing with the mask.
Is that by a lake, I'm assuming?
It is. Teleco Lake.
I guess they don't want the old the old mask lines, as it will.
Well, it's in the Greenback area, but still there's, you know, convenience stores and other places of business, post office, et cetera, and didn't see anybody using the mask over there.
Yeah.
It's like, you're good for them.
They're just enjoying it, you know, living life.
He says tongue in cheek.
Yep.
It's still annoying to me, and you know, and there are. Look, they have supermarkets too. It's not like it's just a convenience store. So they have the supermarkets, and yeah, too many people not believing in the mask.
It's a lot of people out there.
Hey, by the way, I think there's a lot of overreacting today, like with the Big Ten. You know, talking about going to a conference-only slate this fall. The ACC is going to be right behind them, where they're first of all delaying the start of fall sports until September 1st. What's today's date again? Yeah, we're still in the second week of July, and I would not really any of this news coming out today. Yeah, don't hold your breath.
Well, and that's the thing, we're seeing the cracks all starting to show, and the cracks are getting larger and larger for all of these. I mean, and we all know too, football's had it the best out of all these sports programs, just because they kind of had. They've had the immunity of just, well, we're not playing, so what does it matter whenever, you know, all these times when you're in mid-February or mid-March as it is, really, when all this hits. So now they're kind of forced to push the issue itself, and, I mean, this is something that's going to happen. You just day by day, we said it, it started small, just like the NFL with canceling the Hall of Fame game. You know, the small little things that don't really matter, and now you're starting to get some bigger things as time gets closer to it.
And I don't believe this is true, honestly. I don't see a September start date for college football. No. I just really don't. No. So, I mean, here we are now nearing the mid-July for the most part, and no, I'm just not seeing it. And you can say all you want. Kind of reminds me of the baseball coach back when this first broke back in March. Hey, I've had the flu. What's Corona? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of reminds me, to me, that whole two sentences I just threw out there. And I can't remember the high school coach's name here in Middle Tennessee. Thank goodness I didn't and don't. But it kind of reminds me of the attitude of some of these coaches. Like, hey, you know, we can play. I'm just not getting into it. I'm just not buying it.
Well, you know, and two, it came out a superintendent in Texas. Now, this was Texas. A superintendent in Texas of Dallas. And he basically said that he does not think that there's any way they're going to be able to get off a normal football schedule, if not at all any high school football. And if you know anything about high school football, Texas, you got your Mid-Texas and you got your Floridas. That's basically an economy around those parts is high school football. And something just as local for us, the TSSAA, they recently put a hold on what they call a delay on their vote to figure out which plan they're going to go about to try to reinstate high school football as well as girls soccer, and they delayed it. So,
you know, look, all you're doing is wasting your time. Why are you voting? Yep. Listen.
Why are they having a meeting anyway?
Why are
just
you voting
a press
today?
Release.
Why are you voting today? Because it's not going to matter. It's almost like, okay, COVID-19, this is what you're going to do for us. It's like, you know, you can say what's going to happen on September 1st all you want, September 5th as far as Labor Day weekend with college football, conference-only games, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can tell the virus what you want to tell the virus. The virus is going, yeah, right. I mean, because that's one of the things that we've learned since March is the fact just when you think you have some clue, some idea, some rationale, you don't.
Do you think, though, that, you know, the Big Ten, really, this started with the Ivy Leagues and their canceling of all fall sports, and then now Big Ten and the ACC. Do you think that this is more or less a plan that all these schools and programs and Big Five had already, or is this the Big Ten did it and now the ACC's got to do it and we're going to see if the Pac-12 or the SEC, whatever, goes next?
Here, look. I was told there's like 19 possibilities, and this has been out there since early June, end of May, early June, 19 different possibilities. And this is just one of those possibilities. Because here's the thing, what's going to happen when you realize, oh, wait, we can't play college football in September. It looks like now we are looking at February. So then you're going to go, oh, wait, remember those non-conference football games we were talking about that's not going to happen? Well, guess what? We can make them happen now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Look, I wish that, look, I'm getting more, I mean, once again, I know there's enough possibilities out there as far as the vaccine, so that's a thumbs up. There's it's not just one where we're, you know, putting all of our eggs in one basket, per se, so I'm optimistic with regards to that. I don't think it helps. You know, I mean, look, now you're trying to make the decision, okay, how does just normal school looks? Forget about mm-hmm. football. Forget about, I mean, here's the thing. and you know, and it's sad that it happened over the weekend. But, you know, for example, the reports coming out of Tuscaloosa, when you have college students having parties with money being thrown into the pot, to not decide whether or not Zach is the first guy to kiss April or not, or little Jimmy gets his first kiss from Michelle. No, whoever gets COVID-19 first gets the money. College students in Tuscaloosa. Last time I checked, that's where the University of Alabama is located, right?
Yeah.
If that didn't bother you, then I don't know what will.
Yeah.
I mean, how you're intentionally trying to get it to win the money in a pot. College students. Our biggest, our brightest, our future college students thinking that that's a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely the conspiracy nuts out there that say some of these teams are kind of wanting their players to go ahead and get it. And then that way, you know, they get it, get past it, and you know, who knows what the outlook of that would be for them. But there's definitely those conspiracy theories that are going on right now.
Hey, by the way, and this is one of these things, because it's a private institution, we don't know what is going on behind the scenes. So, and I wish that we had more insight to make a determination whether or not it's a good idea, bad idea. But, you know, we heard earlier this week that the communications department, as far as athletics is concerned, totally being done away with, being enveloped by the umbrella of the, you know, communications department for the university. Mm-hmm. You're first doing, oh, there you go. Here's the thing. I'm just going to say, wait a second, pause. This happened to Tennessee State University in 1991. if you're around. The state was having major financial issues. The state of Tennessee was. And so there was a lot of mandatory cuts across the state, and certainly higher education was impacted as well. And so it was one of those things to help the athletics department at the time, and I'm sure other universities did similar things, if not cutting positions, did similar things. And one of the things that Tennessee State University did was basically take the communications department, which was me. I mean, it was nice, by the way, Zach, to know that when you leave, they have to hire three people to do your job. So and that made me feel a little better. But basically, it came under the umbrella of the entire public relations department, and where public relations was also paying part of that, you know, the salaries and some of the from my standpoint of funding. And it was a way to, you know, help from that standpoint. Now, is this a situation where now the university wants to control the entire message and everybody is under that umbrella? You know, I don't know. Because it's a private institution, we don't have full insight exactly what's going on behind the scenes. My guess is they are. And just like, look, Akron lost six of their academic departments to COVID-19. Six academic. They only have 11. They lost six of them. All right, this was, what, 2 or 3 months ago, even. And so you bring it up. Is this just one of these things where it's a cost savings measure at this point? I don't know. Is it also a chance to weed out and get new people in? Because what anybody who lost their position could have a chance to reapply for the new position under the new umbrella, correct?
So, well, you know, it's like, if we're taking just this isolated incident alone and making the comparison to Akron, you can, right? Or I know you were just using that as a sample point, but yeah. When you compare a school like that to Vanderbilt, there's a much different cost that comes in. There's a lot of different figures that come in, especially when you're talking about Vanderbilt. But I think you have to really go back to context clues here for what Vanderbilt does and what they've done in their history. And that is that they truly have made a pretty much, I mean, without coming out and just saying it, and now they don't have a media relations group to actually do that, to say it, but without basically just coming out and saying that they do not care about athletics, up until now, you have to lean yourself to the idea that they have done this with a way to kind of control that narrative again through the academic side. And, you know, I mean, I put out on Twitter not too long ago, when all this kind of first broke, I put my bold prediction for the year is that, you know, Vandy Athletics will be done in the next 5 to 10 years.
And I saw that, and that's just not going to happen. So there's too much money involved. So
I mean, like I said, it's what they've done up to the point, and right. Then have something like this, you can definitely see that there's going to be a change. I'm 100% on the board of if Tim Corbin was not succeeding the way he is at Vanderbilt, you would see this have done even earlier and maybe in a different way, but this is something that I think is going to be affecting it for so long, for these next 5 to 10 years. And I wonder, you know, it's been said a couple different places, but I wonder if Greg Sankey is looking in to talk to Vanderbilt at all and see what's going on here. I just can't see it being I can see it from the side of cost saving because of everything that's going on right now, but through the lens of what Vanderbilt has done in their history, You have to lend it to the idea that they're trying to do this to control the athletic narrative a little bit more, to push their own narrative that they want to be pushed.
Yeah, but what narrative are they really pushing? They're putting out a press release about football, game notes. They're doing it for basketball. They're doing it for baseball. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Right.
So you can talk about all the narratives that you want, but the realization is there'll be somebody realizing, I don't want to fill out this weekly thing and sent to the SEC, deciding which player to nominate for these awards, which, you know, who's going up for the offensive player, because this is how it works for any conference. You know, me, say I'm the sports information director. I'm looking at, had a good game on offense, so I'm going to put up this guy for offensive lineman of the week. I'm putting up this guy for the freshman of the week because 100-yard game, he certainly is in that conversation. I'm going to put up the quarterback for the offensive player of the week in the conference. And that's basically what we're talking about. And, you know, got to arrange interviews for, you know, this and that as far as for your particular coaches if you're being requested. My guess is, as far as when you're looking at the overall university, they're going to go, I don't want to do any of this. Mm-hmm. I don't really. I'm just really thinking that this is more of a cost savings measure, especially if there's no fall sports. And I think that that's what they're thinking right now. And so, and is this a permanent decision? I'm just looking at it right now, a way for them to anticipate little or few fall sports. I'm thinking none, honestly, and delaying things until January, February. And this is the way to save several months of money during that same time period.
And it very well could be. It very well could be. But if you crack open your history textbooks...
Look, if you're Vanderbilt, you don't get the benefit of the doubt. I understand that.
Right. Well, what I was going to say is that if you crack open your history textbooks of just any situation in history where power was taken over and power made change happen, it was never done instantly. It was always done gradually. So I just wonder if this is one of those gradual steps that they're kind of trying to push the way athletics from Vanderbilt.
I mean, for me, how did it impact me? Didn't really. I mean,
you feel bad for the people who lost their jobs.
Well, no. I meant, how did it impact me with regards to when I was in a situation in 91? I had to go to a weekly meeting I didn't want to go to. Meetings for me were always useless, I have to be honest with you. And I knew what I had to do. I knew what I was doing. Easily could have been handled with a quick email, whatever. It was that micromanaging kind of thing, which was fine.
Did y'all have email back then?
I'm trying to think when email came. No, actually it wasn't. You're good point.
I'm just wondering. Email, I didn't even
email,
know.
No, email did not come until what, 95, 96. So no. Yeah, but either
quick
way.
Quick letter?
Yeah. You know,
Dove carrier?
Not going to put it through campus mail. That would take forever. But, you know, just looking back, it would have been so easy just to drop off a quick update. This is what I'm working on. This is what I'm doing. Bam.
Right.
Instead of getting stuck in a meeting, but let everybody else know what's going on. And, like, and you just smile, realizing that's why I was putting in 60, 70, sometimes 80-hour work weeks back then, too.
Yeah, well, people love those meetings.
Stuck in the meetings. And guess what? They never started on time.
Well, of course
just
not.
Like, never.
It's all a power struggle, Johnny. It's always a power
and
struggle.
You have to understand, too, I work, you know, when you work in sports, you work in an industry... And especially even in college athletics, where remember, if you're 5 minutes early, you're 5 minutes late. Mm-hmm. You know, if practice at 3, if you're not out there by 2:50, then something's wrong. You know, your everything is timed to the second on what's going on. And so I was operating with that mindset and then having to go where other folks not really on any kind of time schedule like that. And it was I'll be honest with you, very irritating for me. Anytime I had a meeting scheduled, it was like great because I knew it was gonna an hour meeting was gonna take 2 hours out of my day, and if you have more than one, you realize it's gonna be an extra long day. So, but back to the whole Vanderbilt thing, my gut tells me it's a way to kind of it's almost being proactive what they anticipate 2021 is gonna look like, especially from an athletic standpoint.
Yeah. I don't know.
And
it's
sad,
be weird.
But, you know, I don't, you know, it's like a great Big Ten talking about what they're trying to do with conference-only slate, ACC right behind them, all this. I think all this is way premature.
It's going to be it's gonna be very annoying because, I mean, writing for SI and covering Bandy, I've been to the games where, you know, you're sitting there and you're getting the stats of whatever just happened of what quarter or whatever, and I have a feeling those kind of stat runners and that those subtle nuances that nobody else would ever really know that they're at the game.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, see, that's the thing where somebody that oversees the PR for the university, they're going to go, what's this all about?
Yep. Yep. The score was 72-62. Thank you.
Yeah, why do you want all this other stuff? Why are you sending out an email after the event? They were there. They all the things that they don't know is the scary part. And once again, we go back to over the years, because of the way things have been done in the past, Vanderbilt doesn't get the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly why.
All right, if you'd like to weigh in, 615-844-5600. Don't forget, Mitch Light will be joining us, managing editor of The Athletic here in Nashville. Also, he does it for Memphis as well. But your phone calls too, 615-844-5600. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. It's a busy one out here, but it's not the worst we've ever seen it. 24 is picked up in both directions here up by Shelby. Traffic's on the increase Ellington Parkway headed north of town. 800 block of OHB. They're still working that wreck involving some injuries. 40th and Charlotte Ave was still tied up out west Nashville a few minutes ago on that earlier collision. Hey, for the perfect getaway just outside of Gatlinburg, check out Cosby Creek Cabins. Log on now. CosbyCreekCabins.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
What you reading?
It's called The Ledger. There's a great column on the Titans.
So it's a sports publication?
No, not just sports. Like, see here, there's a great cover story on why Middle Tennessee's real estate market is so hot. The Ledger has stories written by some of Nashville's best, most experienced journalists. And you can get all the information on the Mid-State's fast-growing restaurant scene. There's profiles of community leaders and data that helps generate leads for my business.
And sports?
Yes, including UT coverage from Knoxville.
Expensive?
Is free expensive?
Free, huh?
Yeah, grab you one at hundreds of locations and tnledger.com. It's The Ledger. Pick one up today.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place with the best bowling, games, food and drink, and entertainment? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment is the answer. And with five centers in Middle Tennessee, there is a location near you. All open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, and the Tusculum area. And enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville at Circus World, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, a laser maze, a virtual reality roller coaster, and an indoor bungee trampoline. Strike and Spare is expanding their Murfreesboro operations to the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall, with most of the attractions Hendersonville offers. Like them on Facebook for updates on the new Strike and Spare Murfreesboro. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are also the perfect place for your next gathering, from birthday parties to family reunions. For more information, visit strikeandspare.com. Remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The George Blaster Show.
It's great. You finally landed in a place where you're going to thrive with the greatest people on sports radio, pretty much.
Weekdays starting at 2.
It's sports talk the way it should be.
The George Blaster Show.
Man, it's great to have you back, my friend.
The George Blaster Show.
This is going to be that much better now with George on afternoons, man. I can't wait, man.
George Blaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio. This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs great as well. 615-844-5600-844-5600. I mean, before we even talk about some of these... you know, like, for example, college football, you know, I think it's important. I'm looking forward to seeing a realistic way, for example, to start school again, if that's even possible in the fall. You know, you can say you want it, but can you do it in a safe manner where not only the students, but the teachers, the faculty, staff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the bus drivers, that everybody's protected?
Yeah.
They're still waiting for that.
There's a lot of, I mean... Let's stay away from just the school side. Let's just say game side. I brought this up earlier this week, you know, TSSAA talking about trying to bring back athletics and everything. But you look at the officials, and I don't know last time you went to a high school football game, Johnny, here, but the officials for Middle Tennessee, for the most part, and actually I would say all of the state of Tennessee, one, they're understaffed like crazy, and two, they're predominantly in the risk range. There's not a lot of young officials out there. So those people also who are crammed into booths, you know, that's the size of a shoebox with about five other people, eight other people, you know, including media or whatever that run the games and all these different things, they're not talked about because they're just as at risk as anybody else and really the really ones who are at the most risk during these games.
Well, and look, I know it's we want these things, but just to want something doesn't mean it's just going to happen like that. And it doesn't help when you're comparing, you know, apples to watermelons, for example. I mean, I saw the tweet yesterday from the White House talking about Germany, Denmark, Norway, Sweden. Schools are open with no problems. Guess what? You know, in their number of cases, you have to add a couple of zeros to the end of them combined of just those four countries I just threw out there. Add a couple of zeros behind their total numbers for those four countries to get what we're talking about in the U.S. And so I understand when you can reel off a list of countries all you want, but if you don't have realistic guidelines to protect everybody, and I don't want to hear the attitude, well, look, we're the U.S. You know, we're all about freedom. You know, people are going to get sick and die, so be it. You know, we got to go back and do everything that we're normally used to doing. And that's just not the answer. Sorry. You can't play by those rules. And they have to be realistic guidelines to provide the best possible. I mean, do you want to be you know, it's funny how everybody gets this cavalier attitude until somebody close. Like, do you want to be, because of that stupidity, and then have to address the fact that you had a rising senior in high school get this and die?
Yeah.
Be the most popular. Should it have been the cheerleading captain of the debate team, going to graduate top two or three in her class, was certainly destined to go to the Ivy League for college. She was an all-star volleyball player, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, oh, by the way, she tested positive for COVID-19. 2 weeks later, she dies.
Yeah, and that's the ugly truth of this, and it doesn't matter too when you talk about numbers or anything like that for most people, because, you know, it takes just one person to pass away to change people's mind on thought, you know, on these things. Whether, you know, and that's where you can kind of say nuances are kind of going out the window a little bit. And just to play devil's advocate, just a touch here, you know, right. you also talk about, you know, like the other countries that are named, there is a large difference between, you know, Germany and the United States and most other countries out there, just because, you know, the amount of people that travel here and the travel away from here, it's, you know, you really can't shut down the borders the way that those kind of countries have the ability to. And you don't, you know, you can't, they can lock you in your house for 2 weeks. You know, they really can.
Well, we're not allowed to even go over there right now, so we don't even know for sure.
True. Oh, yeah, I know. Who knows what they might be partying up over there.
The U.S. is banned.
Yeah.
We can't even go there.
And a much different population density, too, so the numbers don't really coincide so much that well either, I don't think. But I don't know. I find myself on one side, I find myself on the other. This is one of those topics I think you can have. It's okay to have a middle ground stance to where, yeah, this sucks and you don't want anyone else to have it, but there's also the other side where you can say, you know, you want your freedom a little bit and you want the things that you want. But I don't know. I feel like there's very much a pitted, you have to be this way or you have to be this way. And it's like, it's okay to kind of sit in the middle and live your life to where you think is right for you. But, you know, you if you are going public, you have to understand that you're not just your life. You're intermacting just like that. You're entering to public. So you have different people around you. So you have to remember that, too.
Well, and the bottom line, it comes back to the fact everything that we talked about that you wanted to happen in the fall, all the things that we wanted to embrace to happen in the fall, football, this, whatever it was, but to get there, you know, the things that we had talked about going back to March and April and May, guess what? None of those things on a consistent basis are being done throughout the country.
Would you agree?
That's why we find ourselves in the situation that we find ourselves in.
Would you agree with the situation that if the cases nationally go down and they're on a continuous plummet, but say what your scenario you're bringing up with high school cheerleader who got COVID 2 weeks later passed away, or a professional athlete got COVID 2 weeks later passed away, would you agree that no matter if the cases are going down, if that situation were to arise and someone did pass away, that then there would be more of a public outcry to make sure it all shuts down as a whole?
I think people have gotten to the point now where I don't even know if there's going to be a public outcry anymore.
I don't. It seems like it's all public outcry at this point. I'm not going to lie.
No, I think at this point, honestly, and look, I hope I'm wrong with what I'm getting ready to say, but based on everything I'm seeing on social media and what people are typing and sending out in their 280 characters or less, or posting on Facebook because everybody's an expert as far as being a doctor, because somebody told them that's the way it is, and so it has to be true. Because if they know everything going on with their favorite TV show, then if they know, if they have an opinion on COVID-19, then it has to be gospel. And so because of those things, I don't even think I think people are now to the point where they're, I wish I could say they're unselfish. I think people are selfish to the point where it's like, as long as it's not in my family, as long as it didn't impact me and my immediate family, so be it. That's just life.
I would say people are more
exhausted. You got to die. And this is the part that drives me crazy when I hear the next words. You're going to die from something. It's like, give me a break.
I think people are more or less just exhausted. I mean, I think they're just exhausted of the topic, and not only the topic, but just everything. That seems like every day there's something new news that goes on of negativity.
Because people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Why are we shocked that, oh, by the way, Nashville SC can't participate in the MLS thing? Why are we shocked that several of the Atlanta Braves players tested positive? Because people throughout are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Why are the cases breaking out in Florida and Texas and California? I don't know. Look at all the video coming out of the state of Florida. Look at the leader, the governor of the state of Florida, who's an idiot, who's been like, hey, and throwing his chest out there early May. See, everybody said our cases were going up. They went down. Look at this. And now look at them. He looks like an idiot. Well, I know. He is one. So, you know, I don't know why we're shocked by the negative stories that are out there that are keep on changing. That's why it's like... The Big Ten with their plan telling COVID-19 what they're going to do, yeah, good luck with that. It's not going to happen.
Well, Lord,
say it right now. Football is not going to happen in September. It's not. College football will not happen in September. But I am still optimistic on the things that I do know that's out there. I am still optimistic, especially where we are as far as the vaccines, the possibilities that January, February, especially with a vaccine, late December, early January, to me, that is still a possibility.
Look, I'm not an epidemiologist by any means, but I would think that the cold is actually going to make this all worse. So I would think if you're saying September's not going to happen, then October's probably not going
to
happen.
This is the thing that people need to understand. This is not the second wave or another wave. This is still the first wave. We haven't even gotten to the second wave of this.
I know. Everybody's ready for sports to get back, you know, and it's like every day seems like they're further and further from us.
And is a majority of the people, 80-90% of the people, are they doing what you're supposed to be doing to bring the numbers down? The answer is no.
I've seen it go up, though. I've seen 90, it in my neck of woods, at least.
It has to be 90%. Is it not out of every 10 people, are they doing what they're supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
The answer is no.
I've seen it in my neck of woods. I've definitely seen the masks and the social distancing of sorts go up. Definitely a rise on it. So much to say that there was a time that I just forgot mine, and I was at Walmart, and I was like, ah, crap, I'm leaving. Everybody had a mask, and you're like the only one without it. And so you almost feel the public scrutiny of the idea of walking around, so I left.
And good. You should have.
Didn't.
Thank you very much.
Wouldn't plan on going to Walmart anyway, you know? And you walk around and you're like, crap. But then you go to try to buy the mask at Walmart and they're all sold out. I think that's where a lot of this is. Those big companies, they should just have the mask available. Like, just Walmart can afford
most
this. Target can afford this.
Most stores are handing them out for free as you come in.
They weren't that day, Johnny. I wish they were.
Here's the problem in Williamson County. You have those that stick their noses up in the air, you know, the mid-30s, got the, you know, they look like they came out of something with the, you know, the Ken and Barbie doll with the perfect two kids, noses up in the air. I don't need one. And that's why we have the problems that we're facing right now, is because of attitudes just like that. And don't say you're making this up, because I stood there and watched how many people and the attitudes of them. And oh, by the way, one of them, about 10 minutes later, as you're walking into the section to the left, sneezing his head off all over a section of clothes right there, which last time I checked, there was metal there. And last time I checked, people actually kind of fumbled through all that stuff looking for something to buy, shirt, whatever, blouse, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But their arrogance going to get somebody else sick.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mitch Light, on the other side, you're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. It's a busy one out here, right on schedule here on the South Loop, the West Loop. A crash being cleared 800 block of OHB.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Coming up just after 5, Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. But right now, Mitch Light, managing editor of The Athletic, not only here in Nashville, but Memphis as well. Mitch, hope you're having a good week, and as always, welcome back to the show.
I'm doing fine. Crazy day. Obviously, crazy day in college football. Waiting to come on, just waiting. Watching all this crazy news unfold. But, yeah, doing great, Johnny. Thanks.
Yeah, well, we're getting the crazy news. And I just said, you know, great. It's just like the Big Ten, ACC, Notre Dame, whatever, trying to tell COVID-19 what their plans are. And it's like, yeah. To me, I don't think any of this matters, what you're saying today, if you're any of these conferences. It's great that this is one of – because I was told back in May, end of May, there were 19 different plans being looked at as far as the SEC with regards to what college football and what, you know, fall sports look like as far as coming up in September. And so to me, this was certainly one of those options. But just because you're saying it on July 9th does not mean it's going to happen as far as when the calendar turns into the month of September. I'm still thinking January, February, no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still contingency plans. I think that Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, was on the Big Ten Network saying that, you know, fall collegiate sports in the fall are in peril right now, but their plan right now is to play only Big Ten games, which makes a lot of sense in some regard. But then, you know, I've seen just on Twitter that some politician in Iowa bemoaning the fact that the Cy-Hawk Classic, the Iowa State-Iowa game, won't be held. You got non-conference games like Virginia Tech and Penn State that won't be held. The crazy thing about this is that evidently the conference commissioners had a conference call today, and they're all caught off guard by Kevin Warren's decision in the Big Ten to do this. So it was not communicated to them, and it kind of brings up the point that we all make is that we all love college football, but one of the problems is there's no commissioner, there's no czar, there's no governing body. That, you know, all these conferences are on their own. They do their own thing. So we're seeing that the Bowling Green, I know I'm just kind of rambling right now, but all the things that I've noticed, the Bowling Green athletic director realizing now that his team's not going to play Ohio State in the opener, and that big check they're going to get that supports his athletic department. So he's kind of ripping Ohio State and the Big Ten for saying, hey, we need to all work together in collegiate sports.
By the way, with the news that came earlier this week, you know, there's several different storms all working together to cause the perfect storm, with Vanderbilt deciding to do away with their communications department as far as the athletics and letting it be absorbed under the umbrella for the entire university. I was throwing it out back in 91. If you worked for the state of Tennessee, if you were part of that educational system, for example, you know, there were major budget cuts throughout the state, not just from a academic standpoint. It impacted most of the state agencies from Memphis over to Knoxville. And so at that particular time, and I don't know if it still applies to today, but to help relieve and and to save money and to absorb some costs, they moved like the Sports Information Department at Tennessee State under the umbrella of the PR department. And basically it meant, you know, who was paying for what. But did that mean like whoever was overseeing university decisions was also doing the game stats for any upcoming sporting event? No. But, you know, to me, is this a thing with the recent issues with, you know, as far as we go back to the rape trial, and certainly that left a major black eye on the university from a PR standpoint and the athletics department, and then the recent issues with what, and still to this day, we don't know what truly happened as far as with, you know, a couple of football players. But is this a way to get a firmer micromanagement control of the messages being sent out? Or is it also a situation trying to be proactive, thinking about what 2021 looks like as far as from the upcoming school year, how it works and looks like as far as from a sports standpoint, and looking to save money wherever they can?
A lot there, Johnny. From what I know about the situation is that the new chancellor who started July 1st, I guess I shouldn't say what I know, what someone told me that they heard. The new chancellor who started July 1st, this was his doing and has been in the works. Again, I don't know this 100% to be true, that it was not a reaction to anything. It was not necessarily I mean, I guess there will be some cost-cutting and some streamlining things, so there'll be some efficiencies there, but he wanted all communications for the university under one roof. So that's why they did. I mean, they're still staying in McGugin. They'll still be working in McGugin. You know, my interpretation of it from the outside looking in is that the minor things, it won't change. Like, they're still going to, you know, you go, there's a venerable men's basketball game. There'll still be a media relations person working the game. There'll still be someone organizing the press conference and all that. It's the big picture stuff where they'll, you know, the university will kind of take over rather than someone from the athletic department, because they'll technically be reporting to them. And I think that's where kind of there can be a problem. I think not just at Vanderbilt, but from universities across, they don't necessarily understand how the sports media work.
Right.
You know, they handle the way universities, it's just a different animal than the sports animal. I'll give you an example, the way it relates to Vanderbilt. If you recall when Malcolm Turner was hired and announced as his hire, the university took control of that messaging. And the athletic department, the media relations office, from what I was told, wanted to get Malcolm Turner on a plane to Nashville, even though he's working at the G League, to come down and have a press conference. And he was an intriguing hire, outside the box hire. Like, who was this guy? Let everyone meet him. The university said, no, he's busy. We'll get him on a conference call. That'll be fine. The media relations people at Vanderbilt were like, no, that's not going to play. That's not going to work. And the story that day really was more about how Vanderbilt screwed up by not bringing this guy down. It wasn't anything really about Turner. So that's just a case where I think the university as a whole cannot really understand how the sports media landscape works. So again, I think on a day-to-day thing, it won't be much different. It's the big picture stuff where it might have an effect.
And I wasn't nice about it either, because you could certainly start hearing those buzzwords that they wanted to like take hold without putting in the work, without the achievements. But they had those nice little buzzwords, the Vandy way, the Vanderbilt way. And it's like you're not entitled, especially from an athletic standpoint, unless you're talking about Tim Corbett and the baseball team, you're not entitled to a Vanderbilt way until you achieve something.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's just stepping in and not understanding the landscape and being tone deaf. And we see that a lot. You see that a lot with head coaches in college football who live in their own kind of bubble, and they say things now. They're not really getting away with it now anymore in the climate we live in, but they just they say things that they think sound fine. So that messaging works inside their building, but once, I think Dabo Swinney's been guilty of this a lot. It just doesn't play anymore. So yeah, it's sort of like you gotta know your lane. I think I'm giving life advice here. One of the best qualities someone can have is know what you don't know. And I think there's a lot of people out there who don't know what they don't know, and it gets them in trouble.
And I got lucky, I have to be honest with you. In my situation, the only thing that put me out, you know, the extra meeting times, because they wanted to make sure everybody was on the same page. But other than that, luckily for me, I had a boss that she was overseeing the entire messaging for the university. And she realized what she didn't know. And so it allowed me to roam free and do what I was doing anyway.
Yeah.
To me, it'll be interesting to see how this applies to Vanderbilt, how easy it is to get information moving forward once we start talking about things on the courts and
actual
football
sports.
Fields, etc. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alan George is the head of the department. He's a sharp guy. You know, he was hired at Stanford before, and he's I know, being retained there, and he gets it. I know Alan, he gets the media landscape and stuff. So, but yeah, it'll be interesting, you know, and hopefully Johnny soon we'll have, we'll actually be talking about stuff like that, like actual sports.
Well, the other part though is interesting too. If we are talking, say, SEC, we could be talking about 13 football teams and not Vanderbilt. Because the reason I bring it up, because Vanderbilt is in Nashville. These other football teams we're talking about are in college towns, a different population for all the other 13 teams compared to what Nashville finds itself in, a unique situation being in a major city.
Yeah, I think the perils exist everywhere, though. You could argue, I mean, this may not be a good argument, but you could say that, well, it's a smaller campus as opposed to some of these other schools with 20, 25,000 people. You know, Texas A&M has, you know, a huge campus. So
right.
I think I would not – I see your point. I just don't – I don't think Vanderbilt's in – you know, their football players in greater jeopardy of catching a virus because they, in Nashville, actually think, you know, players who are on larger campuses are equally at risk. It's just, you saw what happened to, you know, Kansas State when those kids came back and they were in their little bubble while they worked out, but then they went to parties, you know, at night. You know, they're college kids. So every school is in jeopardy with this.
That's why September to me is just not realistic. I'm still optimistic about the vaccine. That's why for me January, February seems realistic, because there's just too many. First of all, if we're talking about 90% of the folks doing everything they're supposed to be doing, then it might be a different conversation we're having right now, Mitch. But just like what happened over the weekend, we get the news out of Tuscaloosa College. This still drives me absolutely crazy. College students having parties with money involved, and whoever gets COVID-19 first wins the money. College students.
Remember having that discussion 3 years ago? In a pandemic, first of all, we go, you never believe it, and then say that people are having games to see who can catch the disease first. So
a college student, your future, that's your future there, Mitch. That those are the individuals that you have to worry about taking care of your knees when you're a senior citizen.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can make a snide remark, you know, don't go to any doctors who went to the University of Alabama. My dad's a graduate there, I can say that. I'm just kidding. That's obviously just a small pocket of their population. Could have happened at Alabama, could have happened everywhere. There's dumb college kids everywhere.
There you go. All right, before we let you go, remind everybody again how they can keep up with your coverage as far as now that you're the managing editor of The Athletic, not only here in Nashville, but Memphis also.
Well, actually, my job has shifted since maybe the last time we spoke. I am no longer the managing editor for Nashville and Memphis. There's been a little restructuring, and while we still have coverage locally, you know, with Adam Bingen and Joe Rexroad, on Nashville sports, and then David Ubbin covering the University of Tennessee, we kind of disbanded the Nashville Bureau. So my position was eliminated. I'm now one of the college football editors. So I'm on the college football team working with some of our national writers and stuff. So back to where I was for all my years at Athlon Sports. So getting kind of fully re-immersed in the college football scene.
Breaking news over the past few days. So congratulations then.
There you go.
I mean, you know, college football, number one sport, period.
Let's just start playing. Yeah, it'd be easier to have my job if there was actually college football. But, you know, we'll get to that one day.
We will get there. Look, I'm very optimistic about January, February. I really am.
Okay, so you've been working on a vaccine in the ballpark, Frank's lab?
No, I'm just paying attention to what's out there and where we are. We're not talking about just one. We're all of our eggs in one basket. We're talking about several possibilities. So I'm feeling really good about January, February.
Sounds good. I'm holding you to it. I'd love that to be the case.
Amen to that one, brother. Hey, have a great week. Thank you as always.
All right. See you, John.
Thank you. All right. Coming up, we'll wrap up hour number one. Coming up at the top of the hour, don't forget Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Traffic's busy out here as expected here on 24 out by Shelby. Traffic's on the increase as you slide south of town on 65 down into Brentwood, Franklin. Working at that crash there, 800 block at OHB over in Bellshire. Traffic's picked up also there through the construction on 24 eastbound passing Bell Road. Hey, it's time to have some summertime fun at Adventures Unlimited on the Ocoee River. Book online now, adventuresunlimited.net. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Final Lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
Jimmy Johnson and his family have been spending time in Aspen, Colorado, and last Friday we found out that he tested positive for COVID-19, and he lets us know just how he and his family are doing.
Well, thankfully, I'm asymptomatic, so I don't have the fear. We don't know how many days in that I am right now, so there is some concern that my conditions could worsen, but I literally have had zero symptoms. My wife, at the most, had allergy-like symptoms, which isn't uncommon for us this time of the year in Colorado. The Cottonwoods are doing their thing, and everyone in town has some kind of small allergy-related symptoms. So I feel great. I think our biggest concern right now is just for our children. You know, they are negative as of yesterday. Of course, we're being very responsible in our home and trying to self-isolate. But at the same time, we have to parent. And, you know, that's really the tricky hurdle we're trying to sort out right now. I'm on top of managing their fears. So thankfully, we're healthy and hope to stay that way. But for a 9 and a 6-year-old to try to manage, you know, the fear right now, and they can't come around mom or dad. You know, we've got to feed them, and we're concerned feeding them and passing the virus. So we're trying to be as healthy as we can. But, you know, on the home front with our kids, you know, we're heartbroken right now to see the fear in their eyes and watching them try to manage what's going on right now.
The final lap. We saved serious cash with our Progressive Home and Auto Bundle and used the money to buy a new boat.
Who's ready to water ski?
This is not a real testimonial. Sure, customers can save big money with Progressive, but not enough for a new boat. They'll probably spend it on rent or gas money or maybe one of those little plastic wading pools for the yard.
Ahoy there!
Is what the captain might say. On the toy boat. In your wading pool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
I've always wanted to learn another language, so I decided to give Babbel a try, and I really like the teaching method of the app. I started with the beginner lesson on Babbel, and soon you're putting words into a conversation. Each lesson takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and they're all really different, which keeps things interesting. I can't wait to use my Spanish skills in real life. Dos cervezas, por favor.
Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Zach Williams. By the way, I'd like to invite you to check out our friends with Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. 5 locations in the area to serve you. Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, the Tusculum area. Plus, don't forget the enhanced experience in Hendersonville at Circus World. Also down in Murfreesboro. And by the way, speaking of Murfreesboro, they are expanding their operations to the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall. And when they're completed this summer, they're going to have most of the attractions that you will find that Hendersonville currently offers. For more information, too, don't forget, you can go online to strikeandspare.com. Plus, like the Strike and Spare Murfreesboro Facebook account for updates on all the developments with the new operations down in Murfreesboro. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. Hour number one in the books, hour number two coming up. Stay with us, everybody.
WPDQ, Franksboro.